it at stage one. And the cost differential is profound. Because circulars are generally young and healthy, our healthcare costs are a fraction of those at a similar-sized company, one without the same kind of foresight.
May had the feeling, which she was used to by now at the circle, that they alone were able to think about, or simply alone in being able to enact, reforms that seemed beyond debate in their necessity and urgency.
So when was your last checkup?
Maybe college?
Okay, wow. Let's start with your vital signs, all the basics. Have you seen one of these?
The doctor held out a silver bracelet, about 3 inches wide. May had seen health monitors on Jared and Dan, but theirs were made of rubber and fit loosely. This one was thinner and lighter.
I think so. It measures your heart rate?
Right. Most of the long-term circulars have some version of it, but they've been complaining about it being too loose, like some kind of bangle, so we've modified it so it stays in place. You want to try it on?
May did.
The doctor fitted onto her left wrist and clicked it closed. It was snug.
It's warm, May said. It'll feel warm for a few days. Then you and the bracelet will get used to each other. But it has to touch the skin, of course, to measure what we'd like to measure, which is everything. You did want the full program, right?
I think so.
In your intake, you said you wanted the complete recommended array of measurements. Is that still true?
It is.
Okay. Can you drink this?
The doctor handed May the dense green liquid she'd been preparing.
It's a smoothie.
May drank it down. It was viscous and cold.
Okay, you just ingested the sensor that will connect to your wrist monitor. It was in that glass.
The doctor punched May's shoulder playfully.
I love doing that.
I already swallowed it, May said.
It's the best way. If I put it in your hand, you'd ham and haw, but the sensor is so small and it's organic, of course, so you drink it, you don't notice, and it's over.
So the sensor is already in me?
It is.
And now, the doctor said, tapping May's wrist monitor,
now it's active. It'll collect data on your heart rate, blood pressure, cholesterol, heat flux, caloric intake, sleep duration, sleep quality, digestive efficiency, on and on. A nice thing for the circulars, especially those like you who might have occasionally stressful jobs, is that it measures galvanic skin response, which allows you to know when you're amped or anxious. When we see non-normative rates of stress in a circular or a department, we can make adjustments to workload, for example. It measures the pH level of your sweat, so you can tell when you need to hydrate with alkaline water. It detects your posture, so you know when you need to reposition yourself. Blood and tissue oxygen, your red blood cell count, and things like step count. As you know, doctors recommend about 10,000 steps a day, and this will show you how close you're getting. Actually, let's have you walk around the room.
May saw the number 10,000 on her wrist, and with each step she took, it dropped. 9,999, 9,998, 9,997.
We're asking all newbies to wear these second-gen models, and in a few months we'll have all circulars coordinated. The idea is that with complete information, we can give better care. Incomplete information creates gaps in our knowledge, and medically speaking, gaps in our knowledge create mistakes and omissions.
I know, May said. That was a problem in college for me. You self-reported your health data, and so it was all over the place. 3 kids died of meningitis before they realized how it was spreading. Dr. Villalobos's expression darkened.
You know, that kind of thing is just unnecessary now. First of all, you can't expect college kids to self-report. It should all be done for them so they can concentrate on their studies. STDs alone, Hep C. Imagine if the data was just there. Then appropriate action could be taken. No guesswork. Have you heard of that experiment up in Iceland?
I think so, May said, but was only half sure.
Well, because Iceland has this incredibly homogeneous population, most of the residents have roots many centuries back on the island. Anyone can trace their ancestry very easily back 1,000 years, so they started mapping the genomes of Icelanders, every single person, and were able to trace all kinds of diseases to their origins. They've gotten so much valuable data from that pool of people. There's nothing like a fixed and relatively homogeneous group exposed to the same factors.
And a group you can study over time? The fixed group, the complete information, both were key in maximizing the takeaway.
So the hope is to do something like that here.
If we can track all you newbies and eventually all 10,000-plus circlers, we can both see problems far before they become serious, and we can collect data about the population as a whole. Most of you newbies are around the same age and in generally good health, even the engineers, she said, smiling at what was evidently a joke she often told. So when there are deviations, we'd like to know about them and see if there are trends we can learn from. Does that make sense? May was distracted by the bracelet. May? Yes, that sounds great. The bracelet was beautiful, a pulsing marquee of lights and charts and numbers. May's pulse was represented by a delicately rendered rose, opening and closing. There was an EKG shooting right like blue lightning and then starting over. Her temperature was rendered large in green, 98.6, reminding her of that day's aggregate, 97, which she needed to improve. And what do these do? She asked. There were a series of buttons and prompts arranged in a row below the data. Well, you can have the bracelet measure about 100 other things. If you run, it'll measure how far. It tracks your standing heart rate versus active. It'll measure BMI, caloric intake. See, you're getting it. May was busy experimenting. It was one of the more elegant objects she'd ever seen. There were dozens of layers to the information, every data point allowing her to ask more, to go deeper. When she tapped the digits of her current temperature, it could show the average temperature for the previous 24 hours, the high and the low, the median. And of course, Dr. Villalobos said, all that data is stored in the cloud and in your tablet, anywhere you want it. It's always accessible and is constantly updated. So if you fall, hit your head, you're in the ambulance, the EMTs can access everything about your history in seconds. And this is free? Of course it's free. It's part of your health plan. It's so pretty, May said. Yeah, everyone loves it. So I should ask the rest of the standard questions. When was your last period? May tried to remember. About 10 days ago? Are you sexually active? Not at the moment. But in general? Generally, sure. Are you taking birth control pills? Yes. Okay. You can move that prescription over here. Talk to Tanya on your way out, and she'll give you some condoms for the things the pill can't prevent. Any other medications? Nope. Antidepressants? Nope. Would you say you're generally happy? I am. Any allergies? Yes. Oh, right. I have those here. Horses, too bad. Any family history of illness? Like at my age? Any age. Your parents? Their health is good? Something about how the doctor asked the question, how she so clearly expected the answer to be yes, her stylus hovering above her tablet, knocked the wind out of May, and she couldn't speak. Oh, honey, she said, and bringing her arm around May's shoulder and tilting her close. She smelled faintly floral. There, there, she said, and May began to cry, her shoulders heaving, her nose and eyes flooding. She knew she was getting the doctor's cotton coat wet, but it felt like release and forgiveness. And May found herself telling Dr. Villalobos about her father's symptoms, his fatigue, his accident over the weekend. Oh, May, the doctor said, stroking her hair. May, May. May couldn't stop. She told Dr. Villalobos about his soul-flaying insurance situation, how her mother was expecting to spend the rest of her life caring for him, fighting for every treatment, hours on the phone every day with those people. May, the doctor finally said. Have you asked HR about adding your parents to the company plan? May looked up at her. What? There are a handful of circlers who have family members like that on the insurance plan. I would imagine it's a possibility in your situation. May had never heard of such a thing. You should ask HR, the doctor said. Or actually, maybe you should just ask Annie. Why didn't you tell me sooner? Annie said that night. They were in Annie's office, a large white room with floor-to-ceiling windows and a pair of low couches. I didn't know your parents had this insurance nightmare. May was looking at a wall of framed photos, each of them featuring a tree or shrub grown into a pornographic shape. Last time I was here, you had only 6 or 7, right? I know, Word got out that I was some passionate collector, so now someone gives me one every day, and they're getting filthier all the time. See the one on top? Annie pointed to a photo of an enormous phallic cactus. A copper-skinned face appeared in the doorway, her body hidden around the corner. You need me?
Of course I need you, Vicky, Annie said. Don't go.
I was thinking of heading to the Sahara kickoff thing.
Vicky, don't leave me,
Annie said, deadpan.
I love you and don't want us to be apart.
Vicky smiled, but seemed to be wondering when Annie would end this bit and let her go.
Fine,
Annie said. I should go too, but I can't. So go. Vicky's face disappeared. Do I know her? May asked.
She's on my team, Annie said.
There are 10 of us now, but Vicky's my go-to.
You hear about this Sahara thing?
I think so. May had read an Inner Circle notice about it, some plan to count the grains of sand in the Sahara.
Sorry, we were talking about your dad?
Annie said.
I can't understand why you wouldn't tell me.
May told her the truth, which was that she didn't see any scenario where her father's health would overlap with the Circle. There was no company in the country that covered an employee's parents or siblings.
Sure, but you know what we say here, Annie said. Anything that makes our Circlers' lives better.
She seemed to be waiting for May to finish the sentence. May had no idea.
Instantly becomes possible. You should know that.
Sorry.
That was in your intake orientation, May.
Okay, I'll get on this. Annie was typing something into her phone. Probably later tonight. I'm running into a meeting now, though. It's 6 o'clock. She checked her wrist. No, 6:30.
This is early. I'll be here till 12, or maybe all night. We've got some very fun stuff happening.
Her face was aglow, alive to possibility. Dealing with some juicy Russian tax stuff. Those guys do not fuck around. You sleeping in the dorms?
Nah, I'll probably just push these two couches together. Oh, shit. I better go. Love you.
And he squeezed May and walked out of the room. May was alone in Annie's office, stunned. Was it possible that her father would soon have real coverage? That the cruel paradox of her parents' lives, that their constant battles with insurance companies actually diminished her father's health and prevented her mother from working, eliminating her ability to earn money to pay for his care, would end? May's phone buzzed. It was Annie.
And don't worry, you know I'm a ninja with stuff like this. It'll be done.
And she hung up. May looked out Annie's window to San Vincenzo, most of it built or renovated in the last few years. Restaurants to serve Circlers, hotels to serve visitors to the Circle, shops hoping to entice Circlers and their visitors, schools to serve children of the Circle. The Circle had taken over 50 buildings in the vicinity, transforming blighted warehouses into climbing gyms, schools, server farms, each structure bold, unprecedented, well beyond LEED. May's phone went off again. And again, it was Annie.
Okay, good news sooner than expected. I checked, and it's not a big deal. We have about a dozen other parents on the plan, and even some siblings. I twisted a few arms, and they say they can get your dad on.
May looked at her phone. It had been 4 minutes since she'd first mentioned all this to Annie.
Oh, shit. You're serious?
You want your mom on the plan, too? Of course you do. She's healthier, so that's easy. We'll put both of them on.
When?
I guess immediately.
I can't believe this.
Come on, give me some credit, Annie said, breathless. She was walking briskly somewhere.
This is easy.
So, should I tell my parents?
What, you want me to tell them?
No, I'm just making sure it's definite.
It is. It's really not the biggest deal in the world. We have 11,000 people on the plan. We get to dictate terms, right?
Thank you, Annie. Someone from HR will call you tomorrow. You guys can work out the details. Gotta go again. Now I'm really late. And she hung up again. May called her parents, telling her mom first, then her dad, and there was some whooping and there were tears, more praise for Annie as the savior of the family, and some very embarrassing talk about how May had become a real adult, how her parents were ashamed and humbled to be leaning on her, leaning so heavily on their young daughter this way. It's just this messed up system we're all stuck in, they said. But thank you, they said. We're so proud of you. And when she was alone on the phone with her mother said, May, you've saved not just your father's life, but my life too. I swear to God you have, my sweet Maybelline. At 7, May found she couldn't stand it any longer. She couldn't sit still. She had to get up and celebrate in some way. She checked the campus that night. She'd missed the Sahara kickoff and already regretted it. There was a poetry slam, in costume, and she ranked that one first and even RSVP'd to it. But then she saw the cooking class in which they were going to roast and eat an entire goat. She ranked that second. At 9, there was an appearance by some activist wanting the Circle's help in her campaign against vaginal mutilation in Malawi. If she tried, May could get to at least a few of these events. But just when she was arranging some sort of itinerary, she saw something that obliterated all else. The Funky Arsehole Circus would be on campus, on the lawn next to the Iron Age, at 7. She'd heard of them, and their reviews and ratings were stellar, and the thought of a circus that night most matched her euphoria. She tried Annie, but she couldn't make it. She would be in her meeting till 11 at least. But Circle Search indicated a bunch of people she knew, including Renata and Alistair and Jared, would be there. The latter two already were, so she finished up and flew. The light was fading, threaded in gold, when she turned the corner of the Three Kingdoms and saw a man standing, 2 stories tall, blowing fire. Beyond him, a woman in a glittering headdress was throwing and catching a neon baton. May had found the circus. There were about 200 people forming a loose fence around the performers, who worked in open air, with minimal props and what seemed to be a decidedly limited budget. The circlers ringing the performance emitted an array of lights, some from their wrist monitors, some from their phones, out in a glow, capturing the proceedings. While May looked for Jared and Renata and cautiously kept an eye out for Alistair, she watched the circus swirl in front of her. There seemed to be no definite beginning to the show, it was already underway when she'd arrived, and no discernible structure to any of it. There were 10 or so members of the circus, all of them visible at all times, all of them wearing threadbare costumes that reveled in their antique humility. A smallish man did wild acrobatics while wearing a terrifying elephant mask. A mostly naked woman, her face obscured under a flamingo head, danced in circles, her movements alternating between ballet and a stumbling drunk. Just beyond her, May saw Alistair, who waved to her, and then began texting. Moments later, she checked her phone and saw that Alistair was putting on another, now bigger and better, event for all Portugal enthusiasts next week. "It will be thunderous," he texted. "Films, music, poetry, storytelling, and joy." She texted that she'd be there and could hardly wait. Across the lawn, past the flamingo, May saw him reading her message, watched as he raised his eyes to her, waving. She went back to watching the circus. The performers seemed to not be just affecting the air of poverty, but to be living it. Everything about them seemed old and smelled of age and decay. Around them, the circlers captured the performance on their screens, wanting to remember the very strangeness of this band of homeless-seeming revelers, to document how incongruous it was here at the Circle, amid the carefully considered paths and gardens, amid the people who worked there, who showered regularly, tried to stay at least reasonably fashionable, and who washed their clothes. May, making her way through the crowd, found Josiah and Denise, who were delighted to see her, but both seemed scandalized by the circus, the tone and tenor of which, they thought, had gone too far. Josiah had already reviewed it unfavorably. May left them, happy they'd seen her, had registered her attendance, and went looking for a beverage. She saw a row of booths in the distance and was making her way to them when one of the performers, a shirtless man with a handlebar mustache, raced over to her, carrying 3 swords. He seemed unsteady, and in the moments before he reached her, May grasped that, though he wanted to seem under control, that this was part of his act, he was actually going to run into her with his arms full of blades. She froze, and he was inches away from her when she felt her shoulders being grabbed and thrown. She fell to her knees, her back to the man with the swords. "You okay?" a different man asked. She looked up to see he was standing where she'd been. "I think so," she said. And then he turned back to the wiry sword man. "What the fuck, clown?" Was it Cowden? The sword juggler was looking to May to assure himself that she was okay, and when he saw that she was, he turned his attention to the man in front of him. It was Calden. Now May was sure. He had Calden's calligraphic shape. He was wearing a plain white V-neck undershirt and gray pants, as skinny as the jeans she'd first seen on him. He had not struck May as someone quick to fight, and yet he was standing.